Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the FBN Holdings 9-month 2016 financial results conference call. Following a brief overview by FBN Holdings management team, an interactive Q&A session will be available. I would now like to hand the call over to Mr. Uke Eke, Group Managing Director of FBN Holdings. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to welcome you to FBN Holdings PLC unaudited 9 months 2016 results conference call. My name is Uke Eke, the Group Managing Director. Joining me today is the MD of the bank and his subsidiaries, Dr. Shola Adedita.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
I also would like to introduce our recent additions. The new CRO of the bank, he is Shegu Alebiosu, and I also have the CFO at the bank. His name is Patrick Iyamabo.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen.
I'd like to confirm that the results were released today at Nigerian Stock Exchange. And also, we have uploaded the result and the presentation to our website. So I will encourage us to be guided by the presentations there. I'm sure you've had time to look through it. So we'll spend a bit of time running through the slides, and then we'll open it up to Q&A. Going straight to slide 5 of the presentation, it was indeed another challenging quarter for us, with the economy officially in recession by the third quarter of 2016. And then we saw inflation, a high of 17.9. The corresponding period had single-digit inflation rate of about 9.4%. On the currency and devaluation, the story is clear and it's been out there. Central Bank further liberalized the market, and the intention was to improve supply into the system, but the pressure on Naira persisted. We also saw widening of spread in the market. It's important to note that, interestingly, First Bank was approved as the only bank to sell proceeds of international money transfer services to the BDCs, which is a strong testament to our ability. Going straight to slide 6, the numbers on the slide reflect, in our view, the strength of our underlying business. And we see gross earnings at 417.4 billion and a PBT of 57.5 billion. This is on the back of 114.7 billion Naira impairment charge for credit losses. As mentioned in the footnotes, full-year impairment charge for credit losses was about 119 billion. Now, what is clear is that the revenue momentum remains very strong, and would like to say unassailable. While we have maintained also a very disciplined approach to cost reduction, as you will see in the ratios which we have provided on slide 7. Speaking to the efficiency ratios, we remain very good in our cost containment approach. Cost-to-income ratio continues to go down. We closed 9 months of 2016 at 48.4%. Corresponding period last year, 61.6%. Liquidity ratio is very strong across the operating entities and largely for the bank also. We maintained a very good cost of fund ratio, about 2.7% cost of funds, which is quite strong. Again, reducing from 4% in 2015 corresponding period. We are happy to report very strong capital positions for all the operating entities. All the regulated entities maintain ratios above the regulatory requirement, with the bank itself at 15.4%, and it is exclusive of 9 months' profits that are not yet appropriated. At the merchant bank, we've got about 29% car. We talked about the NPL, which is high currently, but it's something that we are focusing on very clearly. Our NIMs remain healthy at 7.5%, despite the very tight operating environment. What we believe is that clearly resolving and cleaning up our loan book or the loan portfolio is a clear pathway to value creation. And overall, we are happy with the progress we've made with respect to the loan book and basically recovery and remediation of the loan book. And we do believe that we are well positioned to close the year in a very strong position. Slide 8 speaks to the key developments that happened or events that we would like for the, you know, the market to note, talking about changes, critical changes in the personnel, and the other items that will interest you will be the change that has happened in FBN Bank UK, where we have a new managing director also. We have sustained the execution of our ERP ERM initiative, and it's commenced fully right now. We think that the benefits will begin to come through the numbers, Q4 and into 2017. Overall, we are happy with the progress we've made, like I said before, and we do think that 2017 will definitely be better than 2016, starting from what we will see in Q4 of 2016. So that said, we'd like to quickly go straight to Q&A, and we'll take questions at this point. Operator.
Certainly. Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause just for a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We'll now take our first question from Talu Almatu of Exotics Partners. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for hosting today's call. I have a few questions, please. Can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Okay, that's great. First off, on liquidity, can you just maybe make some comments on the status of dollar liquidity at the bank and how you are managing the payments coming due on the $2 denominated bonds that you've got? I remember in the past that you used to keep some of those proceeds offshore. Is that still the case now? Secondly, on capital, can you just give us some guidance on what your total capital ratio would look like if we were to include all of 9 months profit? At the half-year stage, I think you said it would add around 170 basis points to the total capital ratio. And finally, on asset quality, is it possible to please get an update on the exposure to Atlantic Energy and other sort of large-ticket non-performing loans? And will there be any progress on working out those NPLs by the end of this year? Thank you.
This is Patrick. I'll take the question on that. Where we to capitalize our 9 months earnings, our CAR will inch up to a little over 17%.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, this is Ely, the Treasurer speaking. Speaking to your question on dollar liquidity, I would say, broadly speaking, one would say since introduction of the flexible foreign exchange regime a few months back by the central bank, I think overall liquidity levels have improved somewhat, and we've seen a lot more, may use the word accommodation, on the part of the foreign banks, who have been more willing to extend credit to Nigerian banks in this period, I guess on the back of the maturing central bank forwards and their interventions in the market. So from the bank's perspective, we still have market access. We do have access to lines from our various correspondents, and we're using those to meet our obligations on our trade facilities as and when due. Speaking more specifically to the question around our Eurobonds, as you're aware, both the bonds mature in 2020 and 2021. That gives us significant headroom in terms of time before we need to think of. In any case, we believe that well ahead of that, we see some normalization markets, which then provide opportunities around where we can seek to refinance. Thank you.
Regarding the exposure to ITO and Atlantic Energy, on ITO, the upstream exposure is being restructured, and we are actually at the tail end of wrapping up that restructuring process. We believe we should be done with that in a couple of weeks. And given what has been achieved in terms of production, this is one asset or one company where the indigenous player that acquired the Shell asset has ramped up production significantly. They've moved up from less than 20,000 barrels a day. They are currently producing close to 90,000 barrels a day. They were initially affected by the Niger Delta problem, but the relevant pipeline has been repaired and production has commenced and it is ramping up. So we are comfortable that working with other members of the syndicate that we should have a better structured transaction before 31st of December. On Atlantic Energy, our engagement with the government, NNPC, with the resolution of Atlantic Energy is progressing. Harvest is been slower than we originally planned, but the key is that our rights lenders who have secured against the underlying assets continue to be up government. So even though it's slower than we originally thought, the reality is that we are right in the middle of the resolution of the whole Atlantic Energy transaction. Short update.
Next question, please.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Alex Ayub of WAHA. Waha, please go ahead.
Thanks. I have three questions. The first one, you mentioned like revenue momentum remains very strong, but at the same time, like the economy is in recession. So can you just tell us, I mean, where is this strength coming from? Second one is on the dollar liquidity, just as a follow-up. Can you give us an estimate of like how much dollar deposits you have and whether they have been decreasing or not? Basically, just good for us to understand how sticky are these dollar deposits, where they are from. Is it mainly corporate deposits, mainly non-foreigner deposits? And the third question is on the Naira liquidity. We hear that the overnight rates were even higher than 20% at some point. We're just wondering, I mean, why was there some issues on the Naira liquidity if, for example, you have such a large Naira liquidity on your bank? Thanks.
Okay. Let's have two or three more questions, and then we'll respond to them in batches, please. So next question, please.
Thank you. We'll now go take our next question, which comes from Ronit Gada of Exotics. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. My question really is to do with your cost of risk. Your cost of risk continues to remain high, and I guess part of it is driven by the devaluation of the Naira. But nonetheless, when you look at the NPL cover, the NPL cover is building up. So it does seem like management thinks some of this NPL are unrecoverable and are having to make provisions of it. So can you just give some sense of what kind of cost of risk or provision we should expect for the full year? And within that, what percentage of your NPLs are unrecoverable? If we take out ITO and, let's say, Atlantic Energy, is it possible to say that the rest of the NPLs are actually non-performing and have to be fully provided for?
Next question, please.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question, which comes from Gloria Fadid of CSL Stockbrokers. Please go ahead.
Hello, Gloria. Thank you. Still on your oil and gas loan book, I just want to know if those two loans you mentioned, that you and Atlantic Energy have, if you've taken any impairments on that, and how much impairments have you taken so far on any of those two? And then on your yields and assets, I find it quite curious that most of the banks have been recording an increase in yields and investment securities, but yours seems to have declined. Can you just help us understand what happened there? And on your CAR, you at 14.4%, do you think that it's optimal going forward, still based on that level of capital adequacy?
Okay, we can take the questions now. This is Patrick. I'll take the question on revenue growth drivers and CAR. And so the question around revenue growth driver was what's driving our revenue? I think we've discussed it of the net interest income and then also the non-interest income. At the net interest income level, you would note that this grew on a year-on-year basis, and two things have helped, particularly in the last quarter, which is really the rates and our push into retail, where we get a better yield. In terms of non-interest income, I think the short answer to that is our push into transaction banking. What you will see is that in spite of the drop in things like LCs, that have been impacted by the current FX liquidity regime, our collection revenue, our e-business revenue have grown. And this reflects success in driving transactional type income. For about the last 4 or 5 months, First Bank has consistently won the InterSwitch Award for the only bank in the country to be transacting more than 100 million transactions a month. Still on this point around our non-interest income growth is the financial advisory bit, where you would notice that on a year-on-year basis, our financial advisory income has moved up. In terms of CAR, the question was what will be the optimal level for CAR for us? I think anything north of 16% works for us. It gives us the level of capital protection we need and also allows us to optimize our capital. Like you did mention, what we have is currently 15.4%, but by the time we capitalize our 9 months' profits, we are north of 17%. And if we maintain this momentum till the end of the year, it would increase even further.
This is UK. I want to speak further on the CAR. I think the first point to make is that all the operating entities that are regulated capital-wise are adequately capitalized at this point, and they will remain so. Now, there are a few dependencies. One will be the capacity of the individual businesses to generate revenues, and therefore we have demonstrated over time that our companies are in a strong position to continue to generate revenues. Now, the next point would then be the upstreaming of dividend. And on that score, we have suspended at this time dividend upstreaming by the commercial bank to enable them build up capital buffers. You recall last year we didn't receive dividend from the commercial bank, and this year, like the CFO has mentioned, if you capitalize the current earnings 9 months, they will be above 17%. So that is healthy buffer, even when you factor in the 16% requirements come June 2017. For the merchant bank, they are well capitalized at nearly 29% capital adequacy ratio. Okay. Now, the third point to make under dependency is the risk-weighted assets, obviously. We are not
driven by credit. Now, we have moved back a bit. We are no longer credit-led. We are a transaction-led institution, and therefore, there is no pressure to grow aggressively the loan book. What that means is that we'll be a lot more efficient in using resources and managing the balance sheet generally. Okay, so to that extent, we do believe that we have the capacity to generate business or revenues and also return capital. Now, finally, each of the operating entities, we have implemented an internal capital adequacy assessment process, not just at the operating entities level, but also at the holding company level. So there is a constant review of capital requirements, and the whole co stands ready to capitalize all the entities on an ongoing basis.
Thank you. Once again, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1.
We'll
now move to our next question.
Sorry, there are a couple of other questions we need to tackle. Yes.
Okay. There are some questions around market rates and why rates have spiked recently. Sometimes we do see volatility in the marketplace on account of certain events. In recent times, there was some degree of central bank intervention where they announced some forward sales. So the funding requirements for that were what generated very high overnight rates. But all in, one would say that the market still remains very liquid. And the bank itself remains excessively liquid, as demonstrated with our liquidity ratio north of 50%. You also had a question on the composition of our USD deposits. They're a mix, but they're largely corporate. They are pretty sticky. And one would say through the course of over the last 18 months or thereabouts, it has been relatively stable. We've not seen significant outflow of deposits, dollar deposits in that regard. Also important to note, because we have a large dollar loan book, you typically would have domiciliation of the flows associated with that. So that tends to make it quite sticky. Thank you.
There are some questions around cost of risk and provisioning. The cost of risk at 6.9 is within the guidance for 2016. We expect this to be flat because we've taken aggressive steps in containing potential watchlist inflow into NPL. So we also don't expect NPL to escalate. Looking at the provisioning level, it represents our belief and the action steps we've taken to contain NPL and recoverability of what we have. We don't believe that we will not be able to collect up to 90% of the loan port, of the impaired loan book. So the provisioning we have represents what we've done. For Atlantic Energy and ITO, we have taken provisions. And the provisions we've taken represents the level of impairment and the objective assessments of impairment on the underlying assets.
Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Adetayo Adeyeye, Bernstein Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm Adetayo Adeyeye from Bernstein. Thanks for taking my question. A few of my questions have already been answered, but I'll ask the last one that I have on your foreign currency assets and the net interest income. From the 9M result, there was a post of 62 billion in revaluation in FX gains. So I like a breakdown of that particular figure. I'd like to know what was earned from trading FX normally, and what percentage goes into FX revaluation. And then I'd also like to know the current position of your foreign currency assets. What percentage of your financial assets presently make up foreign currency? Thank you.
Okay, let's take another question.
Next question comes from Nabuski Obaik of Sandbank, IBTC Pensions. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I have quite a few questions. Will it be possible for you to break down both the NPLs and the impairment taking fines to different drivers? And especially, I know you mentioned that you're taking appropriate provisions on impairment on ITO and Atlantic Energy, but is it possible to know what portion of your exposure has been classified of these two obligors? Okay, I also feel bound to the impairments and NPL. In Q3, for instance, where we've seen an about 83 billion increase in NPL, is it possible to just strip out that for Q3 alone? And then my final question is, are you happy with your coverage ratio at 50%? And if you are not, are there any plans to boost this ratio at 400? And how do you intend to achieve that?
I'm going to have to request you to repeat your second, the first question, please. The second one, and I think the third one, they weren't very clear to us. Can you please repeat your first, second, and third questions, please?
Okay. I wanted to know if you could break down the both impairments and NPL and the NPLs classified this year into the different significant obligors that have cost this amount. Especially, I referred to Q3. I've seen the NPL. Q3 standalone, the NPL was higher by 8 billion. So, what will happen in Q3? And then, I also refer to the fact that coverage ratio continues to remain below 50. I think it's around 45% right now. So, are you happy with that level of coverage over NPLs, or do you plan to boost it? How do you plan to do that?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Let me just take the questions on foreign currency. The first question was split between the revaluation gains and the trading gains. I mean, suffice to say that given the currency regime or the operations of the currency markets for the bulk of this year, they've been very tightly regulated by the central bank. So whatever trading gains in have been nominal. So the bulk of what you see are revaluation gains. It's also important to state that given the trajectory of the market and our expectation for currency, we still maintain the currency position. We've not defeased the position, so it remains pretty constant. The second question was, I think that addresses the issue around the currency position anyway. All right, thank you.
Yes. On the provisioning, the bank decided to be decisive on NPL and provisioning in the third quarter to minimize market surprises, you know, that we saw last year. The bank, decided that we should, transparent with our figures and allow the market to also evaluate us. As we said before, the resolution of the key accounts, they've moved from if to when. I mean, as of last year, as of today, we've moved closer to resolution than before, and it's a matter of when, which we believe will be fourth quarter. On coverage, we believe that the coverage we have today is adequate, and we believe that some of the key accounts a couple of key accounts might actually fall off in the fourth quarter based on the update provided earlier in this conference call. We are optimistic that when those NPLs fall off, the coverage ratio will increase further. But as of today, they represent objective assessments of our impairment.
Let me also add that over and above the fact that we're dealing with the challenges with the existing portfolio, the current leadership of the institution, we've also been decisive in terms of entrenching very strong credit risk management regime. And what that does, it assures that going forward, the quality of risk assets that will be created will be much higher than what it used to be in the past. We've already changed essentially all the key personnel involved around our credit process. You know, we do have a new chief risk officer now, who until recently used to be the chief credit officer of African Development Bank, the only triple-A-rated entity in Africa. Over and above that, we've also strengthened the risk asset creating team within the bank. We recruited a new head of corporate banking from Standard Chartered. We also appointed a new head of commercial banking. So both at the risk end and at the business end, we've essentially changed personnel. In terms of policies and procedures, we reported earlier during the Q2 that we actually hired KPMG Professional Services to carry out a diagnostic review of our credit process. The report has been received, and we are currently implementing the recommendations by KPMG. These have resulted into a new credit approval policy for the bank, and in that policy, we strengthen governance around credit. We strengthen the authority of the chief risk officer. Over and above that, we also strengthen the process of supervision and oversight of our various subsidiaries to ensure that there are no surprises from those subsidiaries. On the technology side, we've reported, and we've also mentioned it much earlier on today, that we are implementing an enterprise risk management solution that empowers management from an MIS perspective and gives management very good insight into the state of our credit. We believe the combination of all these, first and foremost, assure that asset creation going into the future are of the highest quality that is possible while dealing with the current challenges that we have in the portfolio. So it's a three-track approach. We've seen good traction, and like the chief risk officer reported, we are optimistic that in the fullness of time, we will resolve most of this credit.
Okay, can we take next questions, please?
Certainly. Just once again, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll now take our next question from Adewale Okoronboy of ARM Investment. Please go ahead.
All right, good afternoon. Thank you for your presentation. I just have a few questions. My first question is on the NPL. I see there's a jump in transport NPL. I don't think I saw it in the last quarter. So can you maybe talk around it? And secondly, what's your dividend policy at your non-bank subsidiaries? What do you think the likely dividend payout will be from these subsidiaries? And thirdly, did you reprice any of your loans higher over the last, that's between Q3 and Q3, that's over Q3, did you reprice your loans higher? And by how much did you do that? Then what's your NIM guidance for the full year? Then fourthly is on FX. So earlier in Q2, you had issues with regards to the CBN, with regards to the LNG dividend. So can you provide a bit of color on how the resolution sort of worked out with the central bank? And then also on FX dollar liquidity on the market as overall. I think what's your view on the FX dollar liquidity situation in the bank? Are the levels much better than where we were pre the move to float the currency, or as liquidity sort of improved? I'm just trying to get a sense as to how the market is from your perspective. That will be all.
Okay, let me take the question around expectations on dividend.
Obviously, ultimately, it's the shareholders that will decide what they will approve for distribution. But I'd like to give assurances, as we did, say, at the AGM last year. We are seeing strong growth in the insurance business. Today, the insurance franchise is the fastest growing in their sector. Gross written premium, we are tops right there, top two. And also in the merchant bank, we are seeing accelerated growth in their business, from investment banking to corporate banking and fixed income trading and trustee businesses. So the entire merchant banking and asset management business is looking very good. But that said, we will be able to make pronouncements on dividend, not now, but when we close our full year. I think it's important to stress that we paid 15 kobo last year, and we're looking forward to paying nothing less than that for 2016.
Okay. With respect to repricing, yes, on account of the change in monetary policy stance, the bank did seek to reprice some of our local currency loans, and clearly that was a function of the segment. So we did push to reprice anywhere between 100 and 300 basis points, depending on the segment, also factoring the impact of the prevailing macroeconomic conditions. So, I mean, you don't want to reprice to a point where you send people into NPL. So there has been some degree of repricing, but I would say it's been moderate. Rather, we have sought to take the benefit of the change in stance through the uplift in the government securities portfolio, and that you can clearly see. You did ask a question about FX liquidity. Like I said before, I would say, broadly speaking, I think it's better. Not so much on account of increased flow, but I think more on account of increased appetite for Nigeria risk by the correspondent banks. So we're seeing more accommodation on the part of offshore correspondents as it relates to providing liquidity to Nigerian banks. So net-net, I would say there has been some improvement. You also had a question around the NNPC NLNG dividend account as it relates to the TSA. Now, I think it's important to note that the whole discourse around that started about a year ago, where between the NNPC, the central bank, and relevant market players in the market, there was an agreement to transfer about half the aggregate balances that the NNPC had in the domestic banking sector back into the central bank. And at the time, I believe it was July last year, roughly $4 to $5 billion was transferred. Thereafter, there was an intense engagement with the central bank on this, simply to point out that given Nigeria was facing foreign currency liquidity issues, that it made a lot more sense to keep domestically held foreign currency balances in the domestic market rather than have these placed with offshore correspondents who were not going to avail an equivalent amount of lines to Nigerian banks. So on that basis, there was a state of action, and there had been various ongoing engagements with the central bank on that regard. It was then thus surprising when there was a call to transfer the balances overnight. Now, for us, we engaged the central bank, and what we have done was we have commenced repayment of those balances. We essentially netted off some various obligations that we had with the entity and the central bank to extinguish the obligation. We have some residual amounts, and we are in process of repaying those as agreed with the NNPC. Thank you.
Okay. Let's take the next set of questions, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Nishran Hala of Sumitomo Bank. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Yeah. Hi there, it's Sean McClellan from SMBC. Just want to follow up on NPLs and coverage. Thank you for the input so far. Looking at the restructuring, at the moment we have coverage at about 43-44%. We have NPLs guidance for the end of the year at 25%. So when can we expect, what's the timeline, the horizon, for some positive momentum on coverage and more particularly on NPLs as we move into 2017? Should we start to expect by half year next year that NPLs will start to come down significantly, or will that take longer? Thank you.
Any other question so we can batch them up?
Certainly. We now take our first follow-up question, which comes from Alex Ayoub of Waha. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, thank you very much. The follow-up question was really around the dollar liquidity. So you mentioned the FDA had some impact, but like, how much do you still have to pay under the FDA in terms of like dollar cash? How much to pay back? And then the other question in relation to the dollar liquidity is, you mentioned that the deposits are quite sticky because it's mainly the corporates who are leaving these dollars with the local banks, in particular with FBNs. Why wouldn't the corporates, especially like international corporates, leave their cash with international banks, especially given the situation is a bit more difficult and challenging now in Nigeria? Or even why wouldn't the local corporates leave their dollar cash with international bank? Is there a regulation which forces them to keep their dollars within the country? Thank you very much.
Okay. One more question, please.
Once again, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll now take our next follow-up question, which comes from Nabushi Obaik of Stanbic IBTC Pensions. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I have some follow-up questions. The first one, will it be possible to disclose how much of your exposure to ITU and Atlantic Energy that have been classified as NPLs and actually impaired in the income statement? That's the first question. Second question, at the previous conference call, that's half-year conference call, you mentioned a planned divestment from FBN Mortgage. So has that been completed? And it has, did it result in a profit or loss? Then will it be possible to give examples of policies that you introduced recently that will at least give comfort to investors around the fact that you say you've strengthened governance and supervision around your credit process? So if you could give examples of some policies that you recently introduced. And then my final questions. Also at the last conference call, you said you expected to make recoveries of about 50 to 100 billion in the second this period, second half of the year. So, from your top three exposures. So, did this happen? Were you able to make this level of recoveries? And if you did, then how come it's not reflecting so much in the overall absolute numbers?
Okay, very much. We're going to take the we're going to respond to the question.
Okay, speaking to the questions on liquidity and foreign currency deposits, I think there are a number of things. First of all, the systemically important bank here, the First Bank has extremely long and deep relationships with its corporate clients, especially its large domestic institutional clients, right? So that perhaps is one of the reasons why they are placing deposits with us. In addition, I think given the composition of the markets today, clearly one would expect that everybody would seek to try to source foreign currency from the official market, especially where there is a significant price disparity between that and elsewhere, as opposed to using their own foreign currency balances. And that is true even for those that generate significant export earnings at this point in time. So I think that perhaps
is one of the things that also accounts for the fact that people still are not using their dollar deposits that aggressively in that regard. As to what we've done with the NMPC balances, like I said before, we've agreed, we've repaid some of it, and we've agreed a plan to repay the balance, and we are adhering to that plan as agreed with our customer. Thank you.
And to the question about disposal of FBN mortgage, it's at an advanced stage, and we expect to be able to close if all continues at this pace over the next 3 months. And by close, we mean regulatory approval, payments, and all that stuff. To your question, to the bit about whether we can disclose whether it's going to be a profit or a loss, I mean, you can understand why and how we can't have this discussion at this point in time. But hopefully, by the time we have the next call, we should be in a position to share.
On NPL, I said earlier, we don't expect NPL to escalate beyond the market guidance of 25% we provided. We activated recovery efforts in the third quarter as promised, and we actually made material recovery. However, devaluation increased NPL, of course. On the NPL coverage, we will improve NPL coverage, but not by making material provisioning, but by working out existing impaired assets to ensure that they drop off the impaired loan book. And that's our commitment, to ensure that we achieve recovery and that we also improve coverage on the other assets. On the other two assets you mentioned, we confirmed earlier that we have taken provisions which are based on an objective assessment of the level of impairment.
Just to add, and that given the fact that we report under IFRS, part of the reason why the NPL coverage ratio would not be towards 100% is the factor of the quality of the credit mitigants supporting the specific assets. So, like the chief risk officer of the bank mentioned, objective assessment of the facility, objective assessment of the underlying collateral determines what your next impairment charges will be. And that essentially is what has driven the level of impairment charges and the level of the NPL coverage ratio that you have seen in our financial. The last question, okay, on the policy, just to give you a snippet of some of the changes that we proposed that are embedded in our new credit policy. So, prior to this time, approval of credit at our subsidiary essentially just goes through the subsidiary's governance process. So, but we've also seen some uptake in the NPA ratio from our subsidiary. So part of what we've done is to strengthen that governance such that beyond certain thresholds, credit from all the subsidiaries comes to the office of the group chief risk officer for assessment and for approval before it goes back to the subsidiaries for the purpose of approval. That's one. Another key change that we've made to our credit policy has to do with aligning the level of exposure with the seniority of the relationship management to ensure that conversation, discussion, and credit calls are actually taking place at the right level with the right seniority to ensure that risk and business issues are picked up timely and they're dealt with if there are any downside risks that we need to deal with. Over and above that, we've also strengthened the policies around waiver, deferral, who can defer, who can waive, the length of deferral, the length of waiver, to also to ensure that the quality of the portfolio is not weakened based on subsequent decisions taken by the different levels of governance. So this is just some of the examples of the changes that have been made, and that gives us comfort that going into the future, we do have a much, much stronger credit risk management policy and framework that can withstand external shock.
Okay, and we move on to the next.
This is the conference center. Please stand by. We will resume the conference shortly. Thank you for your patience. Please go ahead.
Okay, let me apologize for the loss in communication. We want to proceed with the next set of questions, please.
Certainly. We'll now take our follow-up question from Adewale Okorumbue of Arm Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to get clarity on the transport NPL. So the reason behind the jump in transport NPL for Q3, that's all.
Okay.
Yeah. Transport NPL leads to vessels that support oil and gas sector. So what we've done, consider the cash flow, and we try to sculpt the cash flow to align, sculpt their payment to align with their cash flows. And for us, they'll be fine, they'll be paid out.
So they weren't there last time we hosted a conference call, but we've taken an objective look at the portfolio, and we thought it was important for us to plug this. But like the CRO said, we're working with the obligor to try and smoothen the repayment. Next questions, please.
There are no questions at this time. I'd like to hand the call back to Mr. Iku Eke for any closing remarks. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay. We note that the bulk of the questions have been around the loan book, and that's understandable. We also like to reiterate that for us, it's mission critical to resolve these issues. But away from what we've said around the risk governance architecture, we also like to draw attention to the other big issues we are dealing with to just restore shareholder value. The first would be capital optimization, and we talked about it. We'd like to reassure the market that all the operating entities will remain sufficiently and adequately capitalized, and they will weather the storm going forward. We also like to see the cost efficiency gains we've achieved in the last 9 months as a plus for us. I think it speaks to the discipline that we have embedded in the business, and we've seen a drop in our cost-to-income ratio. Even in the face of rising inflation, we have continued to bring our costs down without compromising service quality. The third point to make is around the cost synergy through shared services. For us, this is important, and we've engaged a global consultant to guide us through this process. We're at the point of implementing the key initiatives, and that will further bring down the cost-to-income ratio across all the operating entities. And finally, the enhanced revenue synergies, which we are seeing already. We are seeing a greater degree of collaboration among the operating entities, insurance supporting asset management, the commercial bank supporting the merchant bank. And so all of this would translate to a better result for the fourth quarter. So just to end, I'd like to thank all of you for joining us today, and we look forward to hosting the full-year conference call sometime January or February next year. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This concludes the SBN Holding 9-Month 2016 Financial Results Call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.